Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back for another Rain After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We're playing with fire. That's right, we get a proposal, and we get a marriage, and a main character is back! So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The music swells!
Yes.
Just in time for Leif! To come in.
He's back.
But one step too late. Oh my God, what an episode.
Of course.
We knew he'd be back.
Yep.
But so much to talk about. At first, though, we have to introduce ourselves. Alina Vision.
Hey, what's up, guys? As always, you can follow me on all social media at Alina Vision.
And you know what? Will Kemp is one of the nicest people.
Yes.
I know he's not on today's after show, but for those of you loyal listeners, we had Will Kemp, who plays Darnley, on last week, and he was a great guy.
Awesome. So awesome. So nice. Go check out that episode for sure.
That's right. He was so apologetic of, I just felt like I talked a lot. I'm like,
good. No, we want you to talk.
They get enough of us.
Yeah, exactly.
But back to us.
Such a cool guy. Yeah.
You get us this week.
Yeah.
But we're going to start in France, and we won't start with Leif right off the top.
Right.
First, we have to talk about sort of Lisa and Narcisse. They set this up in order for Claude to be married.
Yeah.
You know, it's Claude who got herself into this mess, so I don't think she's 100%. But at the same time, I have sympathy for Claude in this thing.
I totally have sympathy for Claude because, I mean, she doesn't really want to get married. She's still, like, in mourning of Leif. She doesn't know that he's not dead, even though we kind of figured he probably wouldn't be. She was holding out hope like we were. And, but, you know, she was hanging out with a married man. And, of course, her, you know, holier-than-thou sister was not having any of it. So put her in this position where it was either the nunnery or marry some other dude.
Yeah, which one would you have picked? Which one's better in your opinion?
I'd marry some other dude. I love God, I love you, Jesus, but no, nunnery's not for me.
Out of all there was this episode, by far, I don't know by far, but very, very strong episode.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong episode. And what didn't get lost was out of all the things that happened, Catherine still stood out with her line of, listen, I can't get you out of a nunnery,
right?
But I can kill the dude when the time comes. Paraphrasing.
Yes.
But
I love her. That's such a Catherine line when she said that. I was like, of course, of course. And you know, Claude's like, oh, okay. And that was like the one thing that I think switched her to, okay, I'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, Luke isn't that bad looking and he seemed nice enough and whatnot. But it was Catherine saying, you know, I can get you out of this eventually. When the time comes, you can be a widow, you know? Love her. Love that character.
Only in this context does that work.
Yeah.
What other context could you put that in and be like, that's definitely not acceptable in everyday life. But you mentioned that Luke, who is Narcisse's son.
Yeah.
Which I'm still going to call Narcisse, even though
right.
That's technically their last name.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Stefan, but not, he's Narcisse,
Narcisse
and he's Luke.
Right.
So Luke, nice enough. I have I can't say this with 100% accuracy, because I'm sure there's exceptions to the rules. But it, generally, the way I view the history of Rain, the people that we meet that are nice tend mm-hmm. to be mean. And the people that are nice, or that are mean at first, tend to be nice deep down. So I think Luke is really mean.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh wow! I didn't get I didn't get that vibe from him.
I know you didn't, but
yeah,
but, like,
but I know.
This
but
is his first
judging
interaction.
On history, the one thing that made me think probably not is because he said that, you know, he wasn't close to his dad, who has been ruthless in the past, and in this episode also was towards the end. I didn't get that vibe from him. Something told me that he was different than his father. Now that we'll see what happens when he finds out that Claude's, you know, ex-lover has come back to town. That will be, I think that'll be the test
mm-hmm.
to see exactly how he handles that.
Okay. Well, in terms of Narcisse, he obviously wants this. I mean, the fact that he takes out Leif is definitely in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
To that point, on behalf of Luke, what would be the right way to handle it?
Oh, goodness.
It doesn't have to be one way. Just give me a couple of scenarios. Give him a menu of options.
You mean for Narcisse, how to handle it?
No, not Narcisse. Well, Luke. Technically a Narcisse.
Right, I know.
But Luke specifically.
Luke finding out. Goodness.
I asked the tough questions.
Yeah, that's a sticky situation because you just married this girl who you want, you know, to have a happy marriage with. But you know she's still in love with another guy. I don't know. I don't know if there's like a right way to handle that. Because honestly, I do think in that situation, he might do with whatever his dad does. Mm-hmm. I think he might side with his dad.
I think this is where Catherine's death clause can come in very soon.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, well, we just got introduced to a new character who might not be on too long. Especially if Claude finds out that Leif's still alive.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Mom. Ready for that?
Exactly. So remember that day you were telling me about? Yeah.
It just felt like yesterday you were telling me.
Exactly.
Because it was. Yeah, very much. Okay, but then in that regard, let's talk about Narcisse's motive, because as much as we've seen him with Catherine, mm-hmm. and I think he signed with Catherine, he's still without Lola, he's going back to his narcissistic ways.
So is.
And so Lisa is a power play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Catherine pointed out to him, the fact that she wanted to replace him, okay, he's going to get on her good side and he's going to be controlling her and manipulating her, and so by this marriage, it's great. And the union, obviously, also it puts his son into a position of power, which exactly. puts him in a position of power. So it's mm-hmm. it's all good for Narcisse.
Exactly.
He's playing both sides, despite what Catherine may think.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I totally saw that as a power play as well, and that's why he wants to keep it all in the family. Now he's married into the royal family. It's a power play, completely. And like you said, now that he doesn't have Lola, you can see the Narcisse from before starting to come back, definitely. Yeah. Which in a way I kind of like, but at the same time I'm like, leave Leif alone. Don't do it.
Of course Leif had to come back.
Yeah.
2 minutes too late.
I know.
Okay, what was that moment? Obviously a huge moment. Not that there's necessarily too much to discuss, but mm-hmm. what was your reaction when you saw
it? I was so excited. Hands up in the air. Yes! And I thought, but then I saw Narcisse come in with those two guards, and you kind of knew exactly what was going to happen from right then, from that point on. And just the fact that he saw, like, the wedding table settings and kind of everything.
He was so hopeful.
Yeah,
maybe it's
he was.
Not too late. They haven't consummated.
They haven't, exactly.
Stop him from putting it in.
Exactly. I still have hope. No. And I was like, maybe, you know, she'll hear him screaming. No, she was preoccupied. So what was your, like, thoughts when you saw him come back?
I was excited. Yeah. Despite feeling that he was coming back, it's one of those things I didn't know how he was going to come back.
Right.
And it's just so oddly, tragically poetic in the worst of
right.
ways that he would come at that point in time.
Exactly.
So
he can just never get the girl he wants, I feel.
I know.
You know?
So I was excited all at the same time. I was like, no!
Right.
Why? It was a great moment. But shifting gears, only because, like I said, there's not too much we can dive into other than the fact that
right.
we love Leif, and we don't want to spend 30 minutes writing a letter of love to
right,
Leif.
Right, right.
Let's talk about Vampire Charles.
Oh, my gosh.
First off, at least Bianca's alive, thankfully.
Right, yeah, thank goodness. I mean, she's out in the woods, poor thing, after seeing, I don't know, bones and bodies and whatnot. But yeah, when Charles came into the wedding, I was like, it looked like he fell off of the Vampire Diaries set, like onto the rain set. Like, what are you doing? Why do you look like a vampire right now?
Sorry, I was filming another show.
Exactly. Just happened to wander on in. Yeah, it was just, what's going on with him? And then he threw his mom against the wall. Like, what is this?
Well, I'll backtrack a tad. Mm-hmm. When they found Bianca, the kids, mm-hmm. it was a great moment because it also gave us expos about what just the common folk think about the king.
Right.
And they're like, I'm a vampire and all this stuff. It's like, this thing's pretty far spread mm-hmm. at this point. And yeah, you understand Catherine's concerns, and I'm with her, and Charles just needs to cut the crap.
He needs to, like, somebody just needs to shake him, like, you're king, snap out of it, like, whatever this emo stage you're going through is, wake up.
Maybe I know emo kid, but not to that level.
I know. It's definitely, he's on his own level. And I don't know, you know, how do you reach someone like that's that far gone?
Time up in a chair.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, think about it in this way. This sort of goes into that darker mystical territory that we've been in the past with Nostradamus and all these other things. And remember, I think it was last season, the big mystery of who the monster was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I'll say it like this. Historically, the only way to get rid of a monster like this was to kill it.
Right.
So, Charles, if you don't want to end up dead, just change right now because you will get killed.
Exactly. Wipe the blood off your mouth. Come on.
Yeah, like, you know what? Go just, do it.
But exactly. Just clean up. That's all we're asking. Just clean up. I actually thought that. I was like, maybe they're trying to take him on the more, like, mystical fantasy route, because we haven't seen that in a little bit. Definitely not in this season, I don't really think. So maybe that's kind of going to be his storyline.
Does Bash come back all of a sudden and then pull out a demon from him and be like,
exactly. Back to whence you came. Exactly. We need Bash and, what was her name?
His love interest.
Yes, yeah. His love interest.
Ooh, I forget.
Right.
Tough questions you ask.
I know. It's been a while. But yeah, I mean, I just kind of feel like maybe that's the route they're taking him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We shall see.
Please stop. Plus. Yeah. It's just weird.
Just be king. Like, we get it. You know, it sucks what happened, but...
Wake up. Snap out of it.
Wake up.
There's goodness in the world.
Yep.
Okay. So let's take a boat on over to England.
All right.
And because we need more boats in the British Navy. This was... I like this storyline. It was of the three... Well, they were all actually... I mean, they were all very engaging.
Yeah.
It's tough to pick a favorite. But... What did she? I mean, so many poignant things about, like, just the he was praising her father,
mm-hmm.
Max Ford was, but at the same time, just as she points out, couldn't even bear to look at her.
Yeah, ugh. Like watching that scene as a woman just made my blood boil because it was like a man totally ignoring a woman in power, and you know you could tell how frustrated Elizabeth was getting. Any woman would get frustrated at that point. But she, you know, devised a plan, as always, as she does, and she was able to turn it around mm-hmm. and show that she was, you know, fit to be a ruler, even though it was just a hunting trip and she killed, you know, a moose or deer, whatever it was.
Well, in my mind, here's just the way I'm wired. Mm-hmm. We'll sort of backtrack to the hunting because I think there's a lot there. But when they make their overall terms of what the contract should be, we'll pick a fair price and all this.
Right.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, most deals, like, there still has to be a contract drafted. There's still going to be negotiations. Lawyers have to get involved.
You're thinking we're not out of the modern times. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not, pardon the pun, out of the woods just yet.
Right.
And I don't know. But, like, also with Rain, how many deals have we seen sort of, you know, a handshake deal, and like, this is okay, this is what's going to save England and preserve its right. And it's like, the next tomorrow we're going to get news of Darnley and Mary, and all of a sudden, oh, we got to go do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the thing that was going to save us, okay, that's great, but it's not going to save us today.
Right.
It's all just There's always something else.
It all just fizzles. But it normally fizzles from the point of the monarch. So I think because she needs these people on her side, it probably won't fizzle.
Okay.
That's what I'm guessing.
It's tough for me to decide who I love, Mary or Elizabeth, but Elizabeth just did such a fantastic job because she played into his hands in the sense of, oh, well, you know, you showed me the way, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, being strong enough to showcase that, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Right, exactly.
I can do these things.
Yeah. Which she has to all those men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fantastic scene in general. Very, very well done. But Gideon is coming out of this not so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should he be. Out of all, he's one of the more tragic people. Like, as much as we love Francis and things like that, at least he had his time with Mary and like they had their happy moments.
Yeah.
Gideon, not so much.
You know, had stolen moments with Mary, obviously, and then now his daughter is dying, a daughter that he didn't really get to spend that much of her life with, you know?
Which was tragic because that's why he was in France to do this, exactly. So that way he could save his daughter.
Yeah, and now she's very sick, and Elizabeth, at first, is just all about herself, and like, oh, you should be here helping me, and then when he comes to tell her, you know, I wasn't at the hunt because my daughter's dying, and there's nothing you can really do about it, even though she tried to say, oh, well, I'll do whatever I can to save her. It's like, well, there's just some things that are out of your power. You just can't do.
Yeah, I feel bad for Gideon.
Yeah. That's gotta suck.
At least, like, Leif is a character, as sad as it is, that can just keep on ticking and have that great smile.
Exactly.
Gideon
just gets sadder and sadder and sadder.
Man, I feel for the dude.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to be friends.
Yeah.
Him and Leif just... drink a pint together.
Exactly.
Drown your sorrows.
Can never get the girls I want. Everything always goes wrong. Yeah. Mm. Poor guys.
So a lot of sympathy goes out to Gideon. And let us know your comments on that as well. Mm-hmm. Now shifting gears to Scotland.
Yes.
Okay, speaking of, you had mentioned that you fell in love with Luke because of how nice he was. Mm-hmm. What do we think of Darnley? He just, now he's full force in. He's like, Okay, if I can't have Kira, Kate, right? That's her name?
Yeah, I think so.
Then I'm full force in with Mary.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Absolutely.
To me, at least, it does.
Absolutely. He's nice, right?
Very nice,
he's
in my opinion.
He's very nice. But he kind of has those ulterior motives of, A, just being ambitious and wanting to be king. But, B, I don't know if I trust him so much because the whole fire incident.
Did he do it or did he not?
I think he did it. I think he did it because I think he saw how Mary was looking at her brother as, like, a hero, which is, I don't know, it was kind of weird, the whole shirtless thing. I mean, I love the shirtless thing.
But so many just, girls did.
Yeah. I'm all for that. That was bravo. But it was just weird that Mary and him were giving each other these looks. I'm like, you guys are brother and sister. And it kind of felt like Darnley saw that and wanted to be the hero. So the fires were put out. And then all of a sudden, another one starts, and he just happens to be the hero in that.
Okay, but at the same time, people thought that fires just started.
Mm-hmm.
John Knox is leaving at that exact moment. So the implication being that John Knox did that.
Right.
Is it so far-fetched that John Knox then started a second fire? Not him directly, but his minions?
It could be. It could be. But...
So who wrote the letter? You think James wrote the letter?
The letter?
The anonymous letter.
Oh, yes. I think it was James. Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just tell Mary?
Good point. Didn't think about that. Maybe because he just wanted her to not know that it was him. It was somebody else. Because maybe he has plans to tell her as well.
Okay.
So if you get two opinions, are better than one.
Okay. Yeah. I also think it could be stemmed from the fact that, you know, he's starting to buy her trust, but where she is falling in love with him, meaning Mary with Darnley, that he doesn't, he feels that if he puts himself in the middle of her love relationships yet again,
right,
then she's like, please stop.
Yeah. Just let me do this on my own.
Yeah. So yeah. I think it's in a way protecting himself. If you're, it's the same sort of result as you're saying, right, of, okay, she'll believe him much more.
So you think it was him that did it as well?
I think so. It seems to be the common opinion. So
You're going to rock with it?
I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
Because it's also just the way it was shot in terms of the fire.
Right.
It was James that noticed it. So.
Right. Yeah.
Who knows? And again, to my point, like, Darnley came off very nice.
He did.
But now we're giving this a little bit. And I think there's a middle ground for him. I think he is somewhat nice. I don't know. I would hope that it was more Knox than him.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that would suck if he's that kind of, you know, slimy to go set someone's house on fire just to be the hero.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. So we haven't quite seen that.
We shall see.
But power makes people do strange things.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think also he just wanted to be, like, seen kind of higher up in Mary's eyes. Because if you think about it, from the time he met her, first saw her, she was with Gideon. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he saw her, like, giving those eyes to her brother as a hero. And so maybe he's like, I need to do something to kind of be put on one of those levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I do applaud him for being so open and direct with her.
Yeah.
Like, listen, let's cut the BS.
Right.
We know why we're getting married.
Hey, it is what it is.
You know, we gotta have kids. Let's just start planning it.
Right.
Why, like, tippy-toe around the subject?
I want to be king. We gotta have kids.
You wanna be queen.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hey, be blunt.
So I appreciate that fact. But, yeah, I don't know. Darnley's probably got me fooled.
Yeah, you think? I don't think he's going to be as nice as he came off. I don't think so. I get that feeling.
It would be interesting to see what Greer thinks of him.
Yeah, because we really haven't heard.
Greer's too much
from Greer, yeah.
She's about her own business right now. So, I don't know. Castle Roy. We haven't seen him in forever.
No.
And all we're told is that he's different than he was before he went into prison.
Right. He doesn't really want to be with her.
No.
Like, he wants her to be on her own. That's got to suck.
Very much
so. Yeah. I mean, you're married and, your husband doesn't want to be with you. Now, do you think she's giving James those kind of flirty eyes?
Okay. Everything that I read online is all about how much Greer and James should get together. But here's the thing.
I could see that.
I could see that, but at the same time, Castle Roy and Greer's story just says something so much deeper. Like, okay, the only reason, I get it, they're good looking, but that's the that can't be the only reason. There's something poetic about Castle Roy and Greer at this point that should transcend just looks and attraction.
Right, I get that.
And be showcased in a beautiful way as well. And so let's fix that marriage.
He doesn't want it. He doesn't want... You can't force someone.
Because...
He's changed.
I think it's fixable.
All right.
Listen, unlike with... As Greer tried to get married to talk about with Gideon and all that, at least Greer's situation is fixable. But Mary herself can, at this point, can never have Gideon.
Yeah. No, she can't.
So, that's tougher. At least, like I said, Greer can... It could be fixed. But she just needs Mary's help a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, I'd love to see him actually be there and see kind of, like, the dynamic of the relationship, to say. But...
Well, what do you... Okay, so even though everyone wants James and Greer, Emily and James...
Oh, right.
This is what leads us to the Harvest Festival, is that, He's been courting her quite well. Now she steps aside, and that's where his moment is.
Yeah.
She, see, you know what? She would have been protecting her husband by just allowing things to happen.
Well, maybe if he wasn't gone all the time. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, James definitely did his job that Mary sent out, you know, him to do, and it worked out in their benefit. Because now that one village that John Knox was trying to turn against her is clearly in her favor.
Do you think he is falling for her?
I used to think so, but now it kind of seems like it's more of just a job.
Fact to me, I side more with that.
Mm-hmm.
When he sees his opportunity, there's no part in him that I saw of like...
Right. Should I do it? Should I not? Yeah.
I'll run after her after, but let me first get this information. It was like, oh, good, you're gone.
Yeah, right. Let me do what I came here to do. Exactly. So I don't think that he's like falling in love with her at all. But I do see him giving Greer the eyes. So I think that could happen possibly.
Yeah, and it's also because while Mary stands up to James, she's his sister. With Greer, we've seen in the past where she stood up to him and given him advice, and that's sexy.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It is when you can tell a man, hey, this is what needs to be done, you know? Yeah. I think he likes that.
I think he does, too.
Exactly.
He's getting used to these women running the show.
He's like, where have you guys been all this time? Exactly.
Alrighty, so... that's about everything.
Yeah, great show this week. Loved it.
So many things.
I know. I can't wait till next week.
Next week is not the episode directed by Megan Follows, but episode 6 is. So we have that to look forward to. But before we dive into predictions, let's get into our special segment, Castle Corner.
Yes.
And this week we have selected a castle that Hamlet, the fictional Hamlet of Shakespeare, roamed.
Yeah,
so
yes.
I figured I'd pick that castle. And Lena is going to give us all the information on that.
All right, here we go, guys. So this is Kronborg. It's a castle and stronghold in the town of Helsingør, Denmark. Immortalized as Elsinore in William Shakespeare's play Hamlet, Kronborg is one of the most important Renaissance castles in Northern Europe and has been added to... UNESCO's World Heritage Site list. The castle is situated on the extreme northeast tip of the island of Zealand at the narrowest point of the Øresund, the sound between Denmark and Sweden. In this point, the sound is only 4 kilometers wide, hence the strategic importance of maintaining a coastal fortification at this location, commanding one of the few outlets of the Baltic Sea. The castle story dates back to a stronghold, Korgen, built by King Eric VII in the 1420s, along with the fortress Karin Helsingborg, on the opposite coast of Øresund. It controlled the entranceway to the Baltic Sea. From 1574 to 1585, King Frederick II had the medieval fortress radically transformed into a magnificent Renaissance castle. The main architects were the Flemings, Hans Hendrik van Paschens, and Antoine van Abenberg. Yeah. Whereas the sculptural work was coordinated by Gert van Gorgen. Yeah. In 1629, a fire destroyed much of the castle, but King Christian IV subsequently had it rebuilt. The castle also has a church within its walls. In 1658, Kronborg was besieged and captured by the Swedes, who took many of its valuable art treasures as war booty. In 1785, the castle ceased to be a royal residence and was converted into barracks for the army. The army left the castle in 1923, and after thorough renovation, it was open to the public. Sorry, I butchered those names.
I like this castle. What's our friend's name from Denmark?
Yes.
The prince. He would love it. In Denmark, everything's better.
Yes, everything's better.
So he would love that we highlighted one of the castles in Denmark. It's a good cast. Like, you know, I picked it for the fact that Hamlet was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's obviously like very historical.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people have read Hamlet before or after they visited this castle, or maybe some even during.
Right.
Imagine that. That would be fun.
Yeah. During. Yeah. There was one picture in here where it actually, I think it's one of the halls, looks like one of the halls in Rain. The hall with all the windows and whatnot.
Oh, this one?
Yeah, the, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, different colors, but...
Obviously, this one is a lot more lit up and stuff like that. And those listening on audio podcast form only, just Google some of these images. It's a great castle. All you have to do is literally just type in Hamlet Castle. And it'll come up.
And there you'll have it.
There's us. There's our castle corner for this week. Moving on to predictions for next episode. Let's do it.
Oh.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All righty. So, I think we won't get Leif until like mid to late episode.
Okay.
Only because like it's going to be a mystery. What happened
right.
to Leif?
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to happen, but it's something that I want to happen. Can we please just get answers on Charles?
Yeah. I actually think there will be some sort of answer or clue into what's going on with Charles in the next episode. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's into, what the kids are up to these days. But I think next episode we'll get a little hint as to what it is, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you think... Because I think Claude... This is a longer-term prediction, or maybe you think it's going to happen next episode. When does Claude find out that Leif is alive?
Ooh.
You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. I actually say end of the next episode or the beginning of the following episode. Okay. I don't think it's going to take too long.
This is not a prediction, but I thought of an answer for you.
Okay.
On behalf of Luke.
Okay.
I think if Luke found out from Narcisse that Leif was still alive, but Narcisse told him what to do, and then he nodded and was like, okay, I'm in, but then quickly went back to Claude and was like, hey, follow me. And then they went to the jail cells and then freed Leif, and then let her go. That
would be noble. But he's a Narcisse, so... Yeah.
I highly doubt that will ever happen.
I don't think that's going to happen. That would shock me if it did. Absolutely shock me. But that is a good answer.
I think Lisa and Narcisse, they're going to spend some time intimately.
Really?
I think? Well, right now, Lisa is the one pulling all the strings.
Right.
He likes Catherine, but come on, who's pulling the strings? He likes power more.
I mean, Lisa's she's no fun.
Yeah, but she's Narcisse gets off on that.
That's true, but she's so like holier than thou. I don't know if she'd go for that because she's very quick to point the fingers.
Yeah, but she's quick to point the fingers, but not at herself.
Maybe that would be interesting to see.
Some of the biggest people that like preach blah 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 are the biggest
hypocrites.
Yeah,
yeah. I actually think he's gonna start getting back with Catherine.
But she holds the power. Catherine's gonna need him to save Charles. I think.
Yeah.
I think if Narcisse's next job needs to be Charles.
Yeah.
I'm obviously the Darnley Mary situation. I think that's gonna come. It's gonna have to be addressed next episode. It's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
That Mary's not going to want to not pursue. She's going to put him through some tests,
Yeah, but I mean, we know, spoiler alert, they do get married through history.
Yeah.
So, it'll happen. I do think Greer and James, something's going to happen there.
Fine.
You don't fight it.
Just get it over with.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be next episode. I think it's going to be a few down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to build. They're going to let that one simmer.
And I would love to know your guys' thoughts on you know, in terms of the negotiation with Marion Darnley, he's quick to sort of accept her terms,
mm-hmm.
even though he wanted the whatever the term was. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I totally forgot. I don't know.
Hold on. He wants looking at. It's in my notes somewhere, but it's always hard to find.
He wanted what did he want? I don't remember.
The what do you call it? The crown, crown what? I don't know.
I thought he just wanted to be king.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But it comes with something. Upon her death, like it's the clause upon her death. He becomes,
oh, right.
But I forget what that's called. Sorry. And it's in my notes. But
would it be upon her death, it all goes to him?
Yeah, basically.
Right, right. Okay, that's exactly.
But she's like, I've been there, done that, tried it. Nope.
Right, and somebody tried to kill me over that, so no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
So I think that will sort of that because I think there's more to that than meets the eye right now.
Mm.
Is what I'm ultimately getting at.
Mm.
So we'll see.
I can see that. Okay.
So we'll see.
Sounds
all right.
Good.
That's about it for us. In the meantime, where can people follow you?
Everyone can follow me on all social media at Alina Vision, and that's Vision with two S's.
And follow us here at AfterBuzz TV. Check out my website, philsweettech.com.
It's
just posted
awesome.
A funny clip,
yes,
hopefully.
Yes, it is.
So check out some of my dumb
they're
dumb
not dumb,
stuff
they're hilarious. Love it.
So I'll try to continue that trend of other stuff. Yeah, that's it for us. Keaton should be back next week.
Yeah.
For those of you who actually watch live, we'll be back at 4 p.m.,
yep.
which is our supposed regular time on Sunday nights. So, thank you for watching, as always. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.